I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics' viral tubing mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CauseMetics. .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hi, I'm Keegan.
And I'm Madigan.
And you're listening to Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist. This is a podcast where we explore the world through our own personal feminist perspectives.
What up?
What's up? Madigan has some distressing things to talk about. Usually we don't go over what we're going to talk about beforehand, but you did mention to me what you wanted to discuss, and I think my words were, oh no.
Yeah, well, I wanted to mention it because it is kind of like, for me at least, it feels like a touchy subject, and I wanted to kind of give you a heads up because I have a lot of feelings. I don't know what your feelings are. I feel like a lot of people have a lot of feelings, and I don't know if I'm right or if I'm wrong. And so I wanted to do some reading about this and talk about it a little bit because we've covered this story multiple times as it's kind of evolved. I'm talking about Jussie Smollett. And
see, even right then, again, my instinct was to be like, I'm so
like, again,
tired. I just this man has me so exhausted.
Yeah.
Like I saw the picture of him in court with the, you know,
when he
black power fist in the air in court
and saying he wasn't suicidal and that if anything happens to him in court, it wasn't because he did anything to himself.
Or you mean in jail.
Yeah. You know, he didn't do anything to himself. He had this very big outburst when he was sentenced. And since then, well, I mean, okay, so let's go back because for those of you who don't remember this story, Jussie Smollett set up his own like hoax hate crime, essentially, mm-hmm. back in 2019. He was found with a white rope around his neck. There was a chemical that had been poured mm-hmm. over his head. He was beaten. And they very quickly realized that it was a hoax. And there was actually evidence that he had paid these two brothers. There was video evidence of the brothers shopping for those specific things that they were supposed to get.
They have a mountain of evidence. It's not like... you know, circumstantial stuff. Like, they have actual evidence.
Right. But what's going on right now made me question that. Because once he was sentenced, I started seeing more and more people posting on Instagram about his innocence and hashtag free Jesse and things like that. And I was did a little doggy like head tilt. And so I read his sister's Instagram post where she said
Journey Smollett.
Okay. What was the Disney show she was
Selma
on?
Selma. Oh, okay. Selma. That was the movie she was in that I watched.
I loved that. Yeah.
The
that
shit
was,
out of.
And we
yeah.
talked about it mm-hmm. in our, was it our Selma episode that
yeah.
we talked about?
Yeah.
That
yeah.
movie?
And she was also in Underground, that TV show, which is so good. And Lovecraft Country. She's beautiful and she's talented.
Yeah. Why am I thinking she was little girl in Full House?
She was.
Okay, that's yeah. where I know her from. I was like, no, there was a show because I didn't like watch any of those. I was like, I think I know her like really little from Full House.
Yeah, she was like the neighbor girl from Full House.
Same.
She does.
She looks the same as she did when she was a kid.
Yeah.
So his sister posted, Black Americans are incarcerated in state prisons at nearly 5 times the rate of white Americans. Jesse is innocent and you don't have to believe he's innocent to believe he should be free. That made me so confused.
I understand, actually. Like, I think these are two separate issues.
And that's why I was getting kind of like emotional whiplash with the situation.
You can believe that he is guilty of what he has been convicted of and still believe that the sentence that he has gotten is too harsh, right? Like, I think in general, we incarcerate people, like America incarcerates people at such a high rate.
Right.
Like, we are overzealous in that way. And a big part of that is because we have for-profit prisons. And we have also talked about it on this podcast that, yes, Black men are incarcerated at a much, much higher rate.
And they're usually given much longer sentences, harsher punishment.
Right. All of that is true. And
it's all very legit. But I also, originally there were charges that were dropped after the very first grand jury indictment of it. They were like, there was some payoff kind of situation and the charges were dropped. But then there was kind of this public outcry for another investigation and for more charges to be brought upon him. And that was when he was convicted of 5 out of 6 felony charges back in, I want to say it was like November 2021. And then he was just sentenced in March. So it was kind of like they were flip-flopping whether or not they were going to actually like charge him with any time or if they were just going to give him a fee and things like that. And that's why he was released last night, was because they're waiting for an appeal and the grounds of that is double jeopardy. They're claiming that he had already kind of paid for his crime in a way and then brought back to court for the same thing. I didn't go into like the details of the appeal and all that kind of stuff because I just wanted to mention that he is out on release right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really weird because it's something called a personal recognizance bond, which means that he didn't have to put any money down, but he agrees to show up to court when he's needed.
You just trust him to show up.
Right. That's why I'm like, that doesn't make sense. And $150,000 for him, I feel like isn't high enough.
No.
So, but there's been some people who are saying that, you know, the number of days and the penalties he's received were too harsh for his crime. There are people saying it should have been harsher, things like that.
Okay. I mean, listen, I don't know anything about the law, so I have no idea how the law should be applied. As someone who thinks that we should not be incarcerating people the way that we are incarcerating people in this country, I can kind of have an understanding about that sort of
yeah.
thing. But to say that his crime or what he is being convicted of wasn't harmful is like massively upsetting to
yeah.
me, because he is a Black man, he is a gay man, and this was supposedly a hate crime on both of those fronts.
Yeah.
Right? And if this is something that he made up, which the courts have convicted him of,
yeah,
that's so incredibly detrimental to those communities.
To the next person who's maybe not Jesse Smollett.
Right.
Who's on Empire, who goes to the cops with a hate crime
because
they're not believed.
Yes, this man is a member of these marginalized communities. And I don't want to at all diminish his experience within those communities or who he is as a person. But he is also a very privileged person.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people who experience real violence and hate crimes against them, who don't have this kind of financial cushion, who don't have this spotlight on their case, who don't have the ability.
Who probably still have a lot of fans and support behind them in a lot of ways, even though a lot of people are still like probably now very against him. I feel like he probably does still right. have I mean, a lot and of support. I mean, just from what I've been seeing on social media with the number of people that are using the hashtag Free Jesse, it was kind of astounding to me.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't, in fairness, I haven't taken a super close look at this case. I just remember, and so maybe I'm being unfair, and maybe I need to go take another look at this case and draw my own conclusions. I just remember feeling so just blindsided.
It was like a very big betrayal, I feel like, for a lot of reasons. Like, we posted something where it was Tyra Banks saying, like, we were rooting for you. We were all rooting for you. And right. then it cuts back to Jesse from, like, a past interview or something
right. so
like that.
So if you go back and listen to our back catalog of episodes, you can find the episode where this was first reported. And, of course, you and I are outraged about this situation.
Yes.
That this has happened to him. And then very quickly, like in the next couple of weeks, more and more information started coming out where it just looked extremely suspicious.
Yeah.
And I know that looks can be deceiving, so maybe I'm wrong, but I mean, it doesn't really feel like it.
I've been trying to play devil's advocate. I was Googling, you know, evidence against Jussie Smollett innocence. I'm like trying to kind of dig a little bit, and I'm thinking, so the two main pieces of evidence that I was seeing over and over again, and just like the articles that I was reading about, was like the ongoingness of the case or whatever, was saying that the evidence was that there was proof that Jesse had paid the brothers like $35,000 or something like that. But then the other evidence was the video of the brothers in the store purchasing the items, which to me, when I think about it, doesn't necessarily tie back to Jesse. If Jesse is not on the footage or anything like that.
But I believe they did have a paper trail.
But the thing is that there was a paper trail. And then I think it was that they were able to connect
checks,
like, the paper trail and the receipts to the video footage and things like that to connect the story.
He wrote them checks. I'm pretty sure that's what I had heard.
Right. Because it was clear that Jesse had paid these men. For me, I was just trying to play devil's advocate here of trying to figure out how they're seeing innocence. I'm still trying to see that side a little bit.
Yeah, that's what gets me, right? Like, I think that's what's driving me a little nuts is I follow BLM Los Angeles, Black Lives Matter Los Angeles, and this is the second post that they've made.
I sent this to you, didn't I? Where I was like, wait, what?
Yes, and they made a post previously. I think when he was going on retrial, they had made a post
that I think I missed that one.
Didn't go over well. It was quite a while ago. And they had said that they were standing behind Jesse and that they believed him to be innocent, and that they believed that the incarceral system in the United States needed to be kind of broken down and built back up. And
which,
like,
yes, that last part, yes,
exactly.
100%. So why are you toying with me?
I don't know if they are. Like, I that's the problem.
No, I think they're being legit, but I feel like I'm being toyed with because I feel like
I can get on board for one half of it.
I feel
it
like
and
I'm
not
being gaslit because I feel like those two things don't go together right now. I need to look into more about what his punishments are, but I believe it was like a fairly short stay in prison. And then it was like some community service or probation for 2 years or something like that afterwards.
Hmm.
So it's not like he's going away for years and years.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd have to look more closely at his charges.
Yeah.
But it does not rub me the right way.
No.
I'll say that. And I haven't taken a close look at it. So maybe I'm wrong. Listeners, if you have more information, if you've done a deep dive.
That's
or if
exactly
you just have,
what I wanted.
If you just have opinions about this that maybe are counter to my opinions, maybe I'm letting the fact that I feel like my personal feelings got hurt cloud my judgment.
Which
here.
Is legit, but I'm honestly, like I said, I'm trying to play devil's advocate here and like find
I'm trying
to find that side of the story, and I didn't have the time. I broke my computer during the full length episode last week, y'all. So my research this week was a little bit more difficult, but I will definitely take more time to do so. I'm so like weirdly fascinated and disturbed by all of this that it makes me want to keep seeing what's happening next.
I just feel like if Jesse is guilty, which that's just my vibe
right.
that I'm getting, right? And I could be wrong, but if Jesse is guilty, we cannot go backing people like this.
No.
Right? Like, we just can't. It's not the play. It's not the hill that we want to die on.
Yeah.
And we can say broadly, and I would include Jesse in this completely, that perhaps the punishments or the incarceration period shouldn't be as long for crimes where nobody actually really physically got hurt.
He was the only one truly
claiming
that got,
to have gotten hurt.
I mean, he did have some like minor injuries. He was like released from the hospital.
Right, but if they're essentially self-inflicted,
that's
what I'm
saying.
That really
were injuries, but it wasn't inflicted upon.
Right. So I can stand by saying that much, that like, okay, I can say that I can advocate for everyone the same way that I can advocate for everyone who's incarcerated being rehabilitated and having the opportunity to change their life. I can also say that we need to take a closer look at these sentences and establish whether or not they're actually fair or they're actually in the best interest of society as a whole, as well as the person who's been convicted.
And I think what Journey Smollett was saying is also important because it's about taking a look at our prison industrial system as a whole and how that needs to be
changed.
That's
fine, but this is a
horrible,
and I don't feel like we, unfortunately, because of the society that we live in, I don't think that there's not enough grace for people who stand on the opposite side of this issue to use this as the example, because they're going to throw out everything you have to say about changes that need to be made to the prison industrial system because of who you're talking about.
Yeah.
So it's a bad play.
It's a very bad play.
In my opinion. But
I'm very confused as to why a lot of activist people that I, you know of in Hollywood are like supporting it. It's just very confusing to me. And it made me have to take a second look to make sure that I wasn't just being prejudiced.
I'd have to take a look. I haven't, but I'm side-eyeing it pretty hard.
Yeah, listeners, if you have any other information or opinions, like Keegan said, please feel free to write us in. I am so very curious.
Yeah, I want to get to the bottom of it so we can stop talking about this man. God, like, ugh. Okay, so we are going to take a quick break and be right back.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Okay, we are back. So I wanted to talk about the possibility of permanent daylight savings.
Which, at first glance, I'm here for, but I did some reading.
Right, exactly. Like, I first saw that and I was like, great. To be honest, I'm not one of those people who has a strong opinion. Like, so many people are like, first of all, fuck daylight saving. Like,
I mean, changing, honestly,
your time, like clocks or whatever.
I hate the shorter days. I hate it. I just feel tired more of the time. I feel down more of the time. My energy is lacking. This week has felt great.
Oh, yeah. Oh, immediately. Yeah. I went for a walk earlier this week.
You can go for a walk at like six.
I went in the middle of the day, but I can't remember the last time I was out for a walk where I was like, this is the most perfect day I have ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Like, there is something about spring that just hits so hard because you're coming out of this like dark place of winter.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, oh my gosh, it smells like fresh blooms and
it's true.
The sky is clear
does.
And it's gorgeous outside, you
know? Even in the valley. Weird.
I love the valley.
Me too. I'm never leaving.
I love the valley. I don't care. I'm reading a book right now by Eve Babbitts, who's a LA local.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love her. I love her writing.
I've read something of hers because I know that name and I can't remember what it would be.
Yeah, but she's talking about how much, I'm reading it right now, and she's talking about how much people hate the valley in Los Angeles.
Which is such bullshit. We have great food. You don't have to really like go anywhere too far. The traffic's not that bad. Like, you don't really have to get on the freeway if you don't really want to.
Yeah, if you're thinking about moving to LA, don't listen to the LA snobs who say that the valley is like no man's land or something like that. Like,
no.
We have fun. We have fun here.
Great sushi, great tacos, great bars.
That's right.
We know how to live.
Anyway, so daylight savings.
So spring, daylight savings.
So late Tuesday afternoon this week, with no real debate, it was pretty much unanimous, the Senate agreed to legislation that would make daylight saving time the permanent setting for U.S. clocks, ending the ritual of changing clocks in the fall and late winter. So I'm an idiot, and I just always called anytime you changed your clock daylight savings time.
Right.
Like, I was always just like, oh, it's daylight savings. We
have to
change our clock.
I think that's what everybody kind of does just in general, because it's the opposite. We're not saving daylight. We're killing daylight.
Right. One is standard time and the other one is daylight savings time.
Right.
So this legislation was pushed by Senator Marco Rubio. Boo. We don't love him. But he calls this the Sunshine Protection Act.
Which I like that.
It makes me laugh. Like, I'm like, the sunshine, like sunshine needs protecting.
We
you
need
know?
To protect the sun. I mean, yeah. There's a lot of other ways we could be protecting the sun, like in a more literal sense.
Better ways.
But
yeah, I mean, and actually the sun doesn't need our protecting. We need protecting from
the
sun.
Sun.
Yeah.
Sun's going to fucking kill us soon.
Yes, truly.
Getting closer and closer every day.
So like you said, we all hate it when it gets dark early. And I mean, especially since I've been working from home, I loathed it working facing my like window and just watching it get dark at like 5 p.m. and knowing that I still have another hour of work to go and knowing I'm going to be like working in the dark. It was terrible.
Yeah, especially like when we extended our close time to 8 p.m. and it'd be 4 p.m. and it was already dark out and I was like ready to go home at 4 because it's dark.
Right.
And then I'd have to be there for another 4.5 hours. I think not.
Horrible.
It's
yeah.
so stupid. Or when I would come in late and it'd already be dark and I'd be like, what the fuck is this?
Right. So permanent daylight savings would help to prevent that, though it means that sunrises will arrive very late in the winter, approaching 9 a.m. in some northern states. So it'll be 9 o'clock and it'll be like 8:30 in the morning and it'll still be dark outside. Which is kind of a wild concept.
That's really wild.
Yeah. So the reason they decided to do away with fall back rather than spring forward is because we are already in daylight saving time 36 weeks out of the year and only out of it 16 weeks out of the year. So it feels like the obvious choice. It's like, well, just go with the thing that we're in most often. Apparently, though, the U.S. tried to do this once before in the 1970s, and it did not go particularly well.
Yeah.
So because we are accustomed to a light morning, our society revolves around it. Like, we all get up early to go to work and to go to school. And this means that during the fall and winter months, children will be headed off to school in total darkness. which is weird to think about. So in 1974, when we
bye, little Jimmy.
Right. Good luck. I mean,
don't get kidnapped on the way to school in the middle of the night.
I feel like this will be less of an issue now because we are less likely to let our children just kind of
walk in the dark alone.
Go away by themselves. But in the 70s, when this first passed, this was like a major issue. Like one mom was like, yeah, I had to send my kid off to school in the pitch darkness. Like they all left with flashlights. And I'm like, why didn't you walk your kid to the bus stop?
What kind of mom are you?
What are you doing? Yeah. If it's dark, like, okay. So
use your best judgment, kids.
Yeah. Good luck. I hope you make it home.
You have flashlights.
It's the 70s too, which is just like, serial killers around
in the 70s.
Every corner.
Did you know they say that the golden era of serial killers like started in the early 70s and ended in like 2010 with Israel Keyes or something like that?
That's a long time.
Yeah.
That's a really long time.
And like the only reason that they think we're going to start to see the fall of the serial killer is because of DNA and other technology, which I'm good. Finally.
We'll catch them quicker nowadays. But in 1974, when people did this the first time, as they became accustomed to the change, accidents in the morning went way up. So students across the country, some as young as 6 years old, were reportedly hit and injured by cars in the early morning darkness on their way to school.
But y'all know how to drive at night. Like, why are you driving so recklessly in the morning in the dark?
Well, I think it's probably because they're not accustomed. Like, if
you're sleepy?
It's probably maybe partly that, but also, if you're used to driving in the morning when it's dark out, I think your mind might equate that to everyone's asleep, right? So you're not maybe being as cautious as you would be if you're driving when you know people are headed home.
I say everyone just be safe drivers.
Be safe drivers all the time. But I mean, I will say I've been guilty of that. Like if I'm driving at like, I'm coming home from somewhere at like 3 a.m.
I was going to say, if we know no cars are going to be on the road, but
yeah,
aren't you smart enough to know that you woke up and it's morning time?
Well,
like, wouldn't you just know that?
I think that, and, you know, they talk about that.
It's 8 a.m.
Other experts talk about that, but your brain doesn't feel like it's 8 a.m. because you're used to seeing.
Our brains are fucking stupid then.
Well, because you're used to seeing the sky a certain way.
I get it.
In the morning.
I just don't agree with it.
I mean, I think it's science, Madigan.
I don't agree with it.
I don't think you can disagree. But yes, people should be cautious every time
right?
they're driving.
That's all I'm saying.
Certainly.
That's all I'm saying.
So some as young as 6 years old were reportedly hit and injured by cars in the early morning darkness. In the weeks after the change, 8 Florida kids were killed in traffic accidents.
Oh, my God.
This got parents up in arms for obvious reasons. But again, maybe drive your kids to school if it's that dark in the morning. But who am I to say? However, accidents in the afternoons and evenings when it was lighter went down. So it's kind of like pick your poison.
What I'm saying.
You're going to have more accidents when it's dark, period.
But you said that it would be in certain parts of the country that it would be getting later. So like as farther south as you go, the later the sunrise would be?
I think north, the further north you go.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So among the most ardent opponents of year-round daylight saving time are doctors and researchers with the American Academy of Sleep Medicine. So sunlight activates key hormones that fuel a person's activities for the day, and the earlier that process starts, the better. So I think that that's part of it, too, is that like we are so used to the sun kind of being this like
our alert system to wake up.
Right. And like now you need to pay attention. Now you need to focus. So people aren't used to having to drive to work at 7:30 in the morning and it be pitch black outside. So right. Their brain is just not making that like connection. Yeah.
Again, stupid brains.
And melatonin, which is key to falling asleep, is triggered after the sun sets. So the earlier that happens, the longer the runway toward a good night of sleeping. So the sun kind of setting later
gives our bodies less time to prepare to fall asleep and things like that.
Yeah.
But it sucks when I have to be productive so far into the night and I'm tired at 4.
Yeah.
That sucks. I don't want to start getting tired at 4.
No, me neither.
Right?
Me neither. But this spokesperson for the Sleep Academy, who's also a neurologist at the University of Washington Medicine Sleep Center, said going to daylight saving time year-round is a really bad idea. If we do this, it's essentially dosing the entire United States with jet lag, permanent jet lag. Which I'm
this
like,
is
okay.
bumming me out.
It doesn't sound good. So he said that his ideal would be permanent standard time. So he's like, if we don't want to change our clocks, just go to permanent standard time rather than permanent.
I need daylight savings.
Well, I mean, this is what he's saying.
I don't feel like I'm not going to fight with scientists. They know more than me. I'm going to stop.
This is this man's entire life.
I know. And I'm like talking back to him like a child.
You're like, I think you're wrong, actually.
I think you're wrong.
Because I want you to be wrong.
I was just going to say, no, I just really want him to be wrong.
Yeah, yeah. But proponents for year-long daylight savings also believe that it could reduce crime with later hours of sunshine, decrease child obesity by encouraging kids to play later into the day. I don't know if that's really going to matter. It's, you know, I don't think that's gonna affect
kids
anything.
Kids have screens.
Kids who want to go home and play video games are gonna go home and play video games no matter what time it gets dark. Yeah. I don't think that's gonna matter. And put a dent in seasonal depression rates. Now that
is the big one for me.
Yes. So this bill still needs to pass the House and it still needs President Biden's signature. But if it can secure those things, Americans would fall back this November, spring forward next March in March of 2023, and then never change their clocks again.
Well, I mean, I guess it sounds like a bad idea.
I mean,
I don't want to agree.
I say we give it a shot, right?
Right. What's the hurt to at least give it another try? We tried it in the 70s. It's been 50 years.
Fool me once, right? I feel like we've learned.
Yeah.
We'll drive our kids to school now.
Fool me twice. Or at least walk with them.
Yeah. I mean,
you can't drive them for any reason.
Like, get them one of those reflective jackets or something.
Oh my God. That's what my dad did when my parents moved to the cabin. He would go on walks super early in the morning and he bought himself an entire reflective, like almost like a workman's suit where it was bright orange.
The jumpsuit.
Gray. It was two pieces and a vest. So he'd wear like a bright orange shirt and then the like reflective bright orange vest with the like the gray reflective like tape on it. And then he had a pair of pants that had those like striped down the bottom so he wouldn't get hit by any cars.
Well, there you go. I mean, maybe that should just be standard. You should get that whenever you sign up for school. If they're like, how are you getting to school? And you're like, I have to walk to the bus stop. Then you...
Well, you know
hand
what? You know what I did as well, and I don't know if they do this anymore with kids. Like, I don't know if it's appropriate for kids to be watching kids in this way anymore. Like, if it's deemed like safe enough. But I was part of the school patrol, like all of us were in like fifth grade. So we would be designated to certain spots around the school where we would like literally walk with the kids, one person in front, one person behind, and the kids would stay in the middle until a certain point, and then they had to either like meet their parents or walk on their own the rest of the way home. But we would like walk them pretty far.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like we've done this once before. We saw the pitfalls of it. So maybe we can kind of get ahead of some of those pitfalls this go around. We know. So like you can tell.
But
parents,
I don't like the feeling of having jet lag all the time. Like, I don't want that either.
Well, let's see. Let's see how bad it is. Maybe it's not that bad.
Maybe it's not that
bad. Or maybe
bad.
We as a society need to just adjust during those months in terms of like, hey, maybe in the winter months, we get to start work an hour later.
Right. Exactly. You know? Exactly. We got through a pandemic. We obviously know how to adjust.
Yeah.
You know, we got this. All right, everybody. Well, if there's anything that you want us to talk about in the future on one of the news episodes, you can go ahead and email us at neighborhoodfeminist@gmail.com or direct message us on Instagram at @angryneighborhoodfeminist. If you want to check out some of our merch, you can go to the link in our bio on our Instagram or in the show notes wherever you're listening. We have a Facebook business and group page. You can rate and review us on the business page and chat with the fellow listeners on the group page. Last but certainly not least, we have so many exciting things coming up for you all. So if you would please leave us a positive 5-star review on Apple Podcasts if you haven't done so already. It is the best way you can support us, and it makes our day. All right. With all that being said, we encourage you
to rage on.
Bye.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out the Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.